Hey there, I'm an animated Connor Walsh, which is kind of ironic because people say I'm pretty animated in real life. Anyway, welcome to Walsh Wednesday, my new slash old podcast. Let me explain. Back in high school in 2013, I was pressured by some friends to do an impromptu solo acoustic performance in my cafeteria. Believe it or not, people really took to it. And it turned into a monthly musical series I did through the rest of high school. Who said High School Musical wasn't realistic? By college, I turned Walsh Wednesday into a web series, focusing on interviews surrounding community events, charities, and local entertainment in the Hudson Valley and Capital Regions of New York. Walsh Wednesday spawned several spin-offs such as the Walsh Wednesday Concert Series, Walsh Wednesday Spotlights, and Walsh Wednesday The Reflective Series before its hiatus in 2021. After that, I spent the last 3 years working in radio, honing my craft, conducting unbelievable interviews, traveling to fascinating places, attending mind-blowing events, and meeting some of my personal heroes. Now, with the help of some awesome people I've met along the way, I'm bringing Walsh Wednesday back bigger and better than ever. Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday. On this week's episode, we're speaking with the members of Red Door, Dave Irwin, and Helen Avakian. We're speaking to them ahead of their Hudson Valley homecoming, going to be playing at the Town Crier Cafe on Saturday, May 24th, part of Memorial Day weekend. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, Foam and Wash Car Wash, and Walsh Valuation. Hey there, and welcome to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm excited to have you here for this episode. Even though this is going to be airing in mid-May, we're actually recording this on Star Wars Day. And since we're going to be with the band Red Door, I only think it's appropriate that I pull out this bad boy here. May the 4th be with you, everybody.
May the 4th be with us.
Okay, that's my one Star Wars joke for today. We have the band Red Door. They're going to be coming to the Hudson Valley Town Crier Cafe on Saturday, May 24th. We're going to get to speak to them ahead of time. Not just that, we're going to talk about a lot of different things that are happening, from awards that are coming up, just live streams that they do. And also, can we just say that one half of this band is one of the reasons why I even got started in music in the first place. So with us today, I'm so excited, from Red Door, we have David Irwin and Helen Avakian. Guys, how are you?
Great. How are
Outstanding.
You?
It's good to see you guys. And I love the color coordination, of course, for Red Door and everything. I see the painting in the background. You're showing me the hands back there, too. I love it. Now, that's very close to home, because that Red Door is a part of your home, right?
Yes, it is. We moved to we live near Madison, Wisconsin, and we used to live more in the city area, but we moved out to a small town called Mineral Point, which is about an hour from Madison. Very beautiful, picturesque, quintessential small town USA. It's gorgeous. So come visit someday. It's really fun. And when we moved in, we got this old Victorian house. I went from the newest house I ever lived in to the oldest house I ever lived in. This was built in 1860, and it came with this red glass door, which I'll show you our album. We even have a picture of it. This is us in front of it.
That's fantastic.
It has like kind of a lacy detail.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's where our name comes from. We have tried many times to make a name of our duo instead of being, you know, Helen Avakian and Dave Irwin, or Helen and Dave, or whatever. And finally, when we moved here, it came to us. Well, it came to Dave, actually. He was the one who thought of it.
So. Oh, that's fantastic.
Dave's mother actually painted this picture.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
House.
Yeah.
And that's where our name comes from. Wilma Irwin painted that with a little assistance from Leslie Irwin, Dave's sister. Let's see. But along the way, it's been really nice because we get these gifts. So a friend of ours was, I don't know, somewhere overseas actually, and gave us this door, and there's some other things that go with it, but we just usually use the door.
Oh, that's so cool.
A student of mine, Paula Cooper, who's such a nice person, I'm super blessed. I have these best students. She came for one of our student recitals, and she took a plaster cast of our hands.
Oh, that's what
Our
that is?
yes.
Oh, now I can see the details. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so we would do at the end of the show this, like that, and we still do. Sometimes I'll hold this and we'll do the heart. But then she had this idea of doing a plaster hands holding a heart. So she gave us this last year.
So up close, I mean, it looks just like my hand. It's got the pores and everything. I mean, the exact
Wow.
hand.
Right, you can see my fingernails,
Yeah,
like her.
it looks like her hand, but it's white.
That is amazing. That's
Yeah.
cool. I
We
from
had
the
to.
distance, I couldn't quite tell the intricacies of it, but when you brought it closer, it's like, oh my God, that's neat.
She made a nice stick, a wooden little base for it. I can bring it up
Yup.
again. It's a
Yeah.
glass crystal heart. So it was interesting having her holding our hands in this, substance while it
Kind of like
hardened
we
around
almost
us.
abandoned it
It
because it
was hard
was
to
a
fit.
small bucket, and we had it was to try to get our two hands in there holding that thing. Or did
For
were we
like
holding
10 or
it? We were
15
holding it,
minutes.
weren't we? Oh yeah, because we had our hands had to be in that.
Yes, we had to
Yeah.
hold it because then the
So it was
plaster
kind of like
hardened
this for like
around.
oh,
It
that's oof, that's rough. But hey, it came out beautiful.
was fun though. Yeah, it did. It was so nice of her. And so yeah, we just have the most wonderful friends who, fans who just sometimes they surprise us with things like this. We got a hat actually.
Got a hat too.
Well, it's not
Ooh.
official, but one Christmas
Says Red Door on it.
Red
Okay.
Door. Yeah,
Hey, I like it.
Dave's kids made this. This was back when we were called Red Door Duo. We changed it to just Red Door. We just shortened it. That brings me to this. Another friend back in the day made me this hat
Oh,
with my
wow.
face on. That's an old promo picture.
That's lovely. I like that one.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, my friend Patty Smith made that one.
Oh, Patty, I remember her.
You know Patty. Yeah,
Yeah.
she's now Patty Economos.
That's
We call our house.
fantastic.
Our house is called Redoria House now.
There you go. I love that. No, and honestly, with the red door like that, it pops out. It's iconic. It works. Just like you guys, just like with the music. And let's talk about that show with the Hudson Valley Town Crier Cafe, Saturday, May 24th. Helen, this is kind of like a bit of a homecoming for you. You spent many years here in the Hudson Valley. You're not originally from the Hudson Valley, but you did very much make it a second home there for a long time. How long were you here in the Hudson Valley?
25 years, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's pretty
And
significant.
yeah, I must have been, yes, because I had a guitar student who was with me for 25 years, believe it or not. Yeah, it was a great place to live. I absolutely loved it. It was fantastic. And I always love to go back, and the Town Crier is one of my favorite venues anywhere in the US. So to play there is always an honor and a privilege and a pleasure. It is a homecoming.
Yeah.
I've been lucky enough to play there many times. It is one of my, I consider it one of my home concert places to perform. So.
I love
Very
that.
special.
And you'll be seeing a lot of friends, a lot of friends, a lot of family, a lot of people who are friends who have become family come out to these shows and support. So it must be really nice to see everybody. Now, Dave, obviously you're not from the Hudson Valley, but you've come with Helen, of course. What are some of the favorite things about the Hudson Valley that she's shown you that you've really been able to take in?
When you don't travel a lot, that you have some preconceived notions of different areas of the country. I'm not sure what all of your notions were of this area, but when a Midwesterner who hasn't been out east thinks about the East Coast, you think of factories and busy highways and no parking and congestion and all of that sort of thing. So it was surprising to see how many trees there were and how beautiful it is and how hilly and mountainous. Well, I guess mountain, not quite mountainous, is it? I mean,
No, not
Hudson
really.
Valley. Yeah.
Some of
Yeah.
it, yeah.
But so it's a beautiful place to live. I would live there. I mean, it was really just a great place to visit. So had a lot of fun going there. A lot of great musicians in the area.
Big time.
Lot to do.
You like the Ever Ready Diner?
Oh, the diner. That's the diners is we don't have
Palace.
diners like
Eveready
that.
and Palace, iconic. It pretty much
Right.
anybody who passes through has to go to those places. They're the hubs around here.
84. 84, I guess. Is that
Oh,
right? Is it
84
the
Diner, right
84 or
there on
84?
84.
I forget the name of it, but yeah.
It's 84 Diner.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, there's another one, the one on Route 9.
Oh, on Route 9? Well, there's the Duchess Diner that's across from the Galleria. Is that what you're referring
No, it's
to,
further
or?
south. It's right off 84.
Oh, are you talking about, that's Red Line.
Table?
Red
Red
Line?
Line. Okay, Red Line. Red Line's become a stable lately.
Yep. Yeah, Red Line is Fishkill.
Yeah, so we go to all of those when we're in town.
I think we eat mostly at diners because we can afford them. And
yes.
A large variety, and they're open late.
Yes,
so.
That makes such a big difference. Well, it makes sense that Red Door goes to Red Line.
That's
so
right.
We should
tell them next time we go.
We met a waiter at one of these places who...
Red Line.
Was the Red Line, and he came to our show.
Really?
Yeah,
he came to the town crier.
We made friends with the staff.
I love that. That's amazing. So wait, did he come to your show after he served you at Red Line or before
yeah.
he served you at Red Line?
Well, you know, I bring my flyers everywhere when I have
yep.
shows.
There you
and
go.
And so I handed him a flyer or he took a picture or something. And yeah, he came. He was really interested in guitar. So he came to our show, which was
wow.
really fun.
Good for him. I'm so
yeah.
glad that that happened. You never know where you're going to make a new fan. So
exactly.
For all of the servers who have ever waited on you guys, plus your fans, what can they expect at this show at the Town Crier at the end of the month?
Well, I like to call what we do eclectic Americana. So we will be doing a variety of, well, acoustic guitar-based music, fingerstyle guitar, of course. We'll do some kind of, you know, virtuosic pieces together, originals, covers of fun things. We do some upbeat classical tunes and, you know, classical like Beethoven's Fifth we'll probably do. I'll definitely do I'm Coming Home, which is on our Red Door album, which people like a lot. And of course, it's perfect for coming there.
Yeah.
I want to do Pete Seeger tune because there's that huge picture of Pete Seeger.
Yep.
Times such as they are, I think this tune is very timely. And also, I just admire him so much for his activism, which I also think of the times are calling for that, you know, from all of us, really, in my opinion. But it's definitely guided me into being a lot more of an activist than I ever have been in my life the past few years. And so what else are we going to do? We'll do
well. It is
probably some silly things, some weird. So delighted that you have agreed to perform. With
hey,
us. So
I'm
we'll
I'm excited about it. Yeah.
If we can pull it together, maybe we can accompany you on one of your songs. And I have another person, Kathy Mark, who does some wonderful songs. And she's been a student with me for many years on and off. And she lives in the Hudson Valley.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
She builds guitars as well.
Yep.
She
I was just about
daughters.
To say. The, yep.
I taught both of her daughters. So she's going to do a couple of her new original songs that are really good, too. And so,
amazing.
Yeah, we'll have you two. It's going to be a wonderful feature of it. So we're really pleased that we can do that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Really looking forward to that. And of course, people can find more information about the show on the Town Crier website. We'll have the links in the description of this episode for that. And no, really, really looking forward to it. It's always great when you're in town. So good to have you guys. So I want to talk about something else that's happening this May. It's been happening longer than May, but it's wrapping up in May. Dave, something that I saw that you posted on Facebook, I just love how you worded it, and out of context, it sounds unhinged, but it'll make sense in a second. Let's get this woman her first mama.
Oh, you posted that?
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
yep. So what is a mama exactly then?
It stands for an acronym for the Madison Area Music Awards.
Association, actually.
Well, I'm not that familiar.
Association Awards, yes.
There's, I'm more of a Brazilian jazz musician, and I haven't been part of the ecology of popular music in Madison that much. blues bands, rock bands, commercial bands. And the Mamas really, to me, kind of focused on all kinds of commercial music. And there wasn't an emphasis on the kind of music that I played. So I wasn't really, I've never really been involved in it myself that much. But the first time I went to it, I think we got nominated as an acoustic guitar duet. And I went, and it was like a small version of the Grammys. The place was packed with musicians. And Madison's just chock full of talent. There are world-class musicians here all over the place of every type. And I was really impressed with how good these musicians were and a lot of bands that have recorded. Madison's has some great musicians hanging out in this area from, not from here, but they've recorded here. Nirvana, the Bare Garbage?
Oh, wow. Nice.
Bare Naked Ladies or something like that? Or,
I didn't know about that recording here.
Timbuk
3 recording? Timbuk
3. I mean, there's a lot of very famous groups that have kind of have an association with this town.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, I was impressed with how supportive this event was. It was there. It's there, kind of like a red carpet event. People get dressed up. There's acts on the stage, and it's really they take a picture. They have a red carpet.
Yeah, they have the red carpet.
So it's just a lot of fun. And really, what it's about though is not winning. It's about the money. It's to raise funds to get instruments for kids, and it's just. Everybody's out there to support each other, and if you don't win, then somebody, a friend, you hope a friend wins, and it's just a nice pat on the back for everybody.
Nah.
It's a nice night. So I'm impressed with how they do it. They do it very well.
That's amazing. I think that's really incredible, and of course, the post that Dave was, like we referenced that Dave made, Helen, this is, you're in the finals for a couple of categories for the Mamas. If I have this correctly, Acoustic Guitarist of the Year and Teacher of the Year. Those are both big accomplishments right there. Congratulations on that. But you could certainly, one of the things about it, you could use some community help. So first of all, walk us through what it means to be nominated like this and then how we can support you.
Well, thank you. Well, first of all, to get nominated, people even can nominate themselves. I think I nominated myself for Acoustic Guitarist of the Year, like when I moved here. People
Good
didn't really
you.
Know me. And then I've been continually nominated ever since. So it just sort of, like, it kept happening. I actually don't nominate myself any longer. And then this year I was really surprised to also be nominated for Music Teacher of the Year. So that really was like, wow, I just was very excited about that too. And we also, for the first time ever, which I never thought this would even happen, we got invited to perform at the award ceremony this year.
Really? That's amazing.
Yeah, we'll be one of the bands, you know, up on that big stage performing, which will be really exciting. And yeah, so that's what happened. So then they had the first round and I made it to the finals. So now, one more time, I need to get as many votes, and it will take a lot of votes because I know my competition is very stiff. And I know that they have won many of them. Many of them have won them many times, actually. I would like to win this time if possible, but we'll see, you know. But anyway, the most important thing is it is one of their biggest fundraisers for the Madison Area Music Association, which provides musical instruments and instruction to children who can't afford it otherwise. I personally know public school teachers who have been provided really nice instruments for their programs, like an elementary school teacher. She says it's a wonderful institution. So I highly support it. So it's a good
Have
cause.
Vote.
They
yes.
vote by, okay, well, I'll give you the information. So, but I don't know if I can rattle off where you go. There's something called Broad Jam where you need to register, which means giving your email and then making a donation of $5 or more. And then once you do that, they never are going to bother you with emails or anything like that. then there are a list of categories on the left-hand column, and then you're instructed to choose usually one person because it's the finals, but there's one category where you can choose up to six. And so you can vote in as many categories as you like. There are many of them. And if you want to specifically vote for mine, you go to Instrumentalist of the Year, and under that is Acoustic Guitarist is the first thing under it. And for Music Teacher of the Year, that one is under Musician's Choice. So there's a bolder Musician's Choice, and then within that category there is Music Teacher of the Year.
Terrific.
Find my name under both of those.
We'll be able to find it. And of course, we'll have the links in the description of this episode. But Helen laid it out beautifully for you, exactly. And we'll probably put a little description in there for you too. So voting will end on May 17th. So by the time this episode airs, we only got a few days. But you know what? I've seen it where people can get a whole bunch of votes in the last couple of days, like crash the system. It's like, where are all these votes coming from? Let's do that, everybody. Come on, Walsh Wednesday listening audience. Let's make this happen. But Helen, I do just got to say, like, God, how old was I when I first started taking lessons with you? 10, 11, something like that. You know,
you were 10 at the oldest, you were 10, I think.
I probably. So like the fact that we're still in communication, the fact that we still have this lovely relationship and friendship and mutual respect as artists in our own ways, and just the fact you're able to help, you know, get me started and so many other people started. It's not a surprise to me that you're being nominated for Teacher of the Year, and I'm surprised you're not getting more thrown at you coming your way. So honestly, like, thank you for all the blessings that you've given to all your students, including myself. And I know it's meant a lot to a lot of us.
Thank you so much. Well, the Hudson Valley was amazing to me. It's where I first started teaching. And I taught there for 25 years. And I loved, you know, that I knew you since you were 10 years old. I saw you at the very beginning. So it's just to see how
you've seen me at my worst.
And developed. And you were always a lovely young man. I still see you as a young man. You are. And also, you stood out because you right away were writing songs, and that was so cool. You were bringing in like original songs right away, and I loved working with you on those, and you know, and everything else we did. And also that you could, you know, you were one of the people who volunteered to do sound at the guitar. Mm-hmm. We call them guitar parties, the recitals that I would have for the students, and you helped out with that for so long. And I remember one time I had a guitar party to do, and it was I was ill that day. I actually had some kind of bug, like a
stomach. Oh no.
I know. And I'm like, I don't know if I can do this, but I'm like, I don't want to cancel it because I never canceled one.
Yeah.
And you were doing sound that day. And I was like, okay, I bet Connor could MC it if I really need him to do that. And it ended up that we had a horrible snowstorm. So we ended up having to cancel it.
Oh, okay.
It was in Mother Nature's hands.
I remember that.
Lucky
okay.
For me in that particular day.
Well, thank you for considering me emceeing.
I told
that
your mother,
fun.
And he's like, I told your mother about it, and she's like, oh, Connor could have totally done that. And I was like, yeah. And you're like a teenager.
And now
time.
We can see you, that the skills were there.
Oh, yeah. I've been emceeing stuff since middle school, whether they liked it or not. But
I remember when I first saw you with a beard, and I hadn't seen you in a while.
Yeah.
And you were helping with sound at the guitar party. I literally didn't recognize you.
It wasn't even that long. It was only the span of a year. It was only a year.
Yes, yes. It was like yeah. You changed from like a kid to like this beard dude. I thought you were like a college student or early 20s. I'm like, who is this? And then all of a sudden I looked at your eyes and I'm like, then I knew it was you. But I was embarrassed because I'm like, this guy's being really nice and helpful and I'm not sure who he is.
No, because it was funny. Because the difference was eighth grade into high school. And when I was in eighth grade, I was still at St. Peter's. We weren't allowed to have facial hair. So I was forced to shave while at St. Peter's still. So when I got into high school, I was like, I can finally have the beard. And that was the difference.
Wow, okay.
Yep. So that was freshman year, Connor.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. Nope. Everybody thought I was way older than I was. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And now I just want to look younger now that I am older. But it's
right.
All good. I'm the ad ref, calling a timeout on this week's episode to tell you about our sponsors.
Baseball has umps, you idiot.
I don't have an umpire outfit, okay? Sue me. Hey there, I'm the ad ref, calling a timeout on this week's episode to tell you about our sponsors. Now on deck, we got Foam and Wash Car Wash. Hey there, I'm Connor, and this is my car.
My eyes!
Kidding, it's not that bad, but I do really need a car wash, though. Did you know that the spring is one of the busiest times for car washes? It's because everybody's washing off all of the winter grime along with the new spring pollen. Introducing the Wash Wednesday fundraiser. And no, that is not a typo. Wash Wednesday is partnering up with Foam and Wash Car Wash. With 12 convenient locations within the Hudson Valley, Foam and Wash Car Wash is a local family business born in the 1960s, specializing in fast and convenient services in first-class facilities with friendly and courteous staff. By going to the Wash Wednesday fundraiser link, which you can find on screen or in the description of this episode, you can purchase the ticket for a ceramic wash or a hot wax that can be redeemed and used at any of their 12 locations. A portion of those proceeds helps to benefit the Wash Wednesday podcast in supporting local arts and local businesses. The fundraiser goes until Thursday, May 15th. Thanks for the support and happy washing. Next up to the plate, we have our friend Philomena Finelli from Impact PR and Communications. Philomena?
Thanks, Connor. I'm Philomena Finelli, CEO of Impact PR and Communications and a media maven, which is a fancy way of saying that my team and I help companies get in the news, transform leaders into thought leaders, and cut through the clutter with messaging that matters. And we do it all with a smile. Our agency was named the Woman-Owned Small Business of the Year for 2024 by the Metro New York District Office of the U.S. Small Business Administration, and we received the Gold Stevie Award for Women-Run Workplace of the Year, which is an international recognition. But it's not about the awards. It's about the personal interactions. We at Impact PR and Communications pride ourselves on crafting meaningful, results-driven public relations campaigns that are tailored to meet and exceed our clients' goals. If you want to learn more and talk to my team and I, visit PRwithimpact.com and let us know that you found out about us from Walsh Wednesday. Now back to you, AdRef.
Thanks, Philomena. That's enough out of me. Play ball. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, Foam and Wash Car Wash, and Walsh Valuation.
I wanted to add also that teaching is something that everyone appreciates. We are, in fact, while we're there, we are going to visit Helen's teacher. Every time we go to visit her teacher.
In Delaware, Wilmington, Delaware, my first teacher, Judy Kay.
Judy Kay, she doesn't perform anymore, but she used to perform in New York. And it's funny because Helen's become kind of a classical player, and she really likes pop music like Suzanne Vega kind of stuff. That's her wheelhouse. Mine is jazz. But Judy Kay is a fine jazz guitarist, and she did jazz in New York City. And so when we go to visit her, she and I kind of really hit it off because we're sitting there playing jazz standards, and I see the stuff that she used to do, which is top-notch. If you're playing jazz in New York, you can play. And she's really remarkable still, although she doesn't perform anymore. But so it's a really great to go see her, and she's just as excited to see Helen as we are, you know, for her to see you.
Wow. That is so cool. So I think this just brings up a fantastic general conversation topic here about what a teacher means to a student and vice versa and everything. Dave, you teach as well, correct?
I don't.
Oh, you don't? I thought you did. Okay.
When I was younger, I taught, but I don't have the, my career was in something else. I was a scientist.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
And I'm an athlete and a musician, and I have worn a lot of hats, and I never really had time or the need to have to teach music, really. I think teaching is a different skill. My tendency, if I do get a student every once in a while, I give them enough material for about 2 years in the first hour. And then they quit.
Oh, God. Just overwhelm them all.
Yeah, I just...
See you in 5 years, maybe.
But I would be good for some... Which is what I do if I take a lesson. I look for somebody who's got specifically something that I need to learn in a two-hour get-together. Because I can teach myself most of what I need to know. But so I might take a lesson like that. Or if somebody wanted to learn something that they saw me playing... I could get together with them and show them that specifically, but I just talk too much and I go on and on, too many details. And teaching is about getting in front of somebody, diagnosing where they are, kind of feeling out where they want to go, and then coming up and formulating a plan that engages them in this journey
and traveling them on the journey regularly.
Yeah, I was going to ask Helen, do you agree with Dave's assessment on teaching?
His own, oh, about, yes, I do.
What he just said, yeah.
Yes, I did it quite well. Yeah, it's like a doctor. Sometimes I feel like...
See, it's the scientist in him being able to analyze and dissect it. There you go.
Yes.
No, but that is great. So obviously, though, with the collaboration and the way that everybody is able to learn off of each other, you know, why do you feel as musicians, as teachers, as whatever you might be in a given moment, why that collaboration is so important?
I mean, if somebody doesn't know how to do it, obviously there's that.
Yeah.
You're teaching someone a skill. You're also helping them with their creativity. I think that a lot of people are really afraid to be creative. I have most of my students when they first improvise are really scared. Like, it's just, I'm going to actually play something and not like know what I'm going to do in advance. And then, you know, I explain to them, we do it all the time. I mean, in this conversation, we are improvising, but we're used to this. We're comfortable with this. But I try to put it that way when I teach improvisation, that it's like talking. That's really what we're doing. We're having a musical conversation, for example, or just, you know, the technical skills. So it's important, you know, if somebody really wants to do something that they've seen, first of all, there's providing that.
Yep.
And then I think there's providing things they might not have thought of, or, you know, exposing people to other kinds of music, which also I do, you know, Dave and I do with each other. He's exposed me. I was thinking about our community of how we make music together, how we collaborate together. And it's bringing in different influences from different places, different ways of approaching things, looking mm-hmm. at things, different processes, and making those work. So I also learn from my students as well. And I am really happy that it isn't a one-way street, in other words.
Yeah.
It really isn't. I'm sure you know that too.
Big time. Big time.
Like yeah. I give to them, but they also give to me as well. Like we're exchanging energy and ideas and creativity. So it's great. I've been lucky too to have such great people. I've gotten to know so many wonderful people. I know that's something Judy Kay would say too. How she's met so many wonderful people through her teaching career. And yeah, you just never know. You might end up with, you know, plaster hands.
you know, one of the things that I've gotten from my teachers that you try to give your students is the tools to be able to teach yourself. And the thing about learning music is it's about learning songs. And the way that I look at it is similar to being a scientist, is it's learning to do problem solving.
Mm.
And can I give you an example?
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
So when you start off on guitar, the first thing you might just learn is just rhythm. It's trying to keep a beat, you know. And then you might try to learn a melody. And so let's just pick out an old standard, like, say, Ain't She Sweet. Then you might add some bass note. And so on and so forth. And so what you learn to do as a musician is you learn how to play chords. Ain't she sweet, Stephen, up and down the street. Real starting. And just starting. Like, now I'm going to add a five chord. Da, 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 da. You know?
And yeah.
So then what I do is I often try to do arrangements. Like if we do a song, if we were going to do Ain't She Sweet, she would sing it, I'd play chords, then she might play chords, and I might take a solo, mm-hmm. or I might try to do a chord solo, like something like, So,
very good.
You can see that when people say, they try to judge whether somebody is a good guitar player or not. Part of being a musician is being able to solve those problems in interesting ways. And like, for example, what I just played there, most guitarists, probably 95% of guitar players, would not be able to harmonize a song like that.
Mm.
So to me, when I'm listening to it, I'm looking for somebody that's doing interesting things harmonically and not just a real fast sequence of notes or something. I'm looking to see if their command of the language and if they're able to do something interesting with the arrangement. And then, so there's just a lot. That's kind of my life, is I like to look at hundreds of songs, and I just pick up a song every day and try to do something interesting with it.
Yeah.
So I know enough about chords and harmony and melody and technique that I can solve this problem in my own way.
Yeah. No, a lot of music is problem solving, and a lot of it is improvisation. A lot of it's figuring it out and figuring out what works for you and finding the right things that you want to take the challenge on. And, you know, I'm always still trying to challenge myself musically speaking, and I think it makes such a difference. And what you guys were both saying about, like, doing improv, it reminded me of a story. I was sitting in on a friend of mine's jazz band. Their regular guitarist wasn't available. My friend Scott, who played sax in this group, he's like, Connor, can you sit in with us? And it's like, yeah, I'll sit in with you. Sure. I'm not typically a jazz player. You know me. I'm more the singer-songwriter. I let somebody else do the solos normally. They're all trading solos, you know. I'm holding it down on guitar and everything. And all of a sudden, Scott just goes into the microphone. Connor, do you want to take a turn? And I just have a pause, and I'm like, no. And then we just get right back into the main verse of it all.
Right.
But
you do enough improv in your lessons, it sounds like.
We focused on the songwriting. That's what we focused on.
That's true.
Well, the thing is, it's good to know where your lane is, but when you're given an opportunity, you always, if at all possible, you always say yes.
You should, absolutely.
If they say take a solo, well, I mean, you're in the band, but they say take a solo and you can't solo, that it's okay to say no, but But to say yes to go and then get in there and do hold your part down is
a
chunk part. But, you know, I had that happen. I had to play in a kind of a Latin salsa band at a festival.
Oh, wow.
They have a great keyboard player who just got booked on something else and couldn't make it. So I had to take the place of a salsa keyboard player on guitar.
Oh, wow.
And I played Brazilian music, but not really. I played jazz, so I felt like I can read charts and I can read music. And so I had to go play in a festival with a Latin band that's been together for like 20 years. These guys are, you know, locked in. And they said, can you do this? And I said, yeah. And then I was like, oh, boy, I got to do this now.
Yep.
And I was really proud of myself because we had one rehearsal and I walked in and I really, really looked at the music and listened to it and charted it out. And when I sat down and played, I could tell the guys that didn't know me were worried, like, who's this guy?
Yeah.
And after the first tune, they just went on to the next tune. They didn't say, well, they were just, I didn't do any, I wasn't like a rock in the shoe that bothered them. I was just, they were like, oh, he's got it.
There you go.
And that's the best thing that can happen is you sit down and play and everybody, you're just like, okay, he's good.
Yep. Now we just able to keep going. I think, go right ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say then during the festival show is I ended up having to be, the keyboard player was the main solo. So I had to take a solo on every song.
Oh, wow.
And that was
exciting.
It was exciting.
Exciting. Exciting's the best word.
Super exciting.
But you know, it was to me, that's like the fun of being a musician is getting presented all kinds of challenges and going in and see if you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's I can't even explain to anybody how satisfying that is to get opportunities and try to do it and do that. It's
yeah. No, I agree. This reminds me of a quote that's often attributed to Sir Richard Branson. If you're handed a great opportunity, say yes, and then figure out how to do it later. So
yeah, that's right. That's what I'm saying.
Nope, exactly. No, I think that's great. And I think that's good for music. I think that's good for life. I think that's good for a lot of things. And, you know, I think that really brings us to a point of the conversation that we wanted to bring up. The fact about the spectrum of what it's like to be a working musician. You know, just like, David, you were talking about having a perception of what it's like of the East Coast when you're from the Midwest. People have perceptions of what it's like to be a working musician, and some people don't see it as the spectrum that it is. Here you guys are working, you're playing out, Helen, you're teaching, you have all these different opportunities. I think this is a really good opportunity now to talk about. It's like, hey, you don't have to be a Taylor Swift, and if you're not a Taylor Swift, you're a starving artist. There is so much middle ground here. Would either one of you like to get into your perspective on that?
Helen's been a professional musician pretty much her whole life, and I've not. So I've always been a weekend warrior is what I call it. I've always been a band. I grew up in a musical family. My dad was a weekend warrior, tenor sax player. My grandmother was a stride piano player. So I came from a musical background. I always took lessons, but I was too scared to go into it as a professional. I thought looking for a job every day sounds really hard.
It is tough. It's scary. But there's also something exciting.
So now after I've retired, I've gone into music full time, and I cannot really believe how difficult it is to try to raise your level to the level that I want it to be in terms of being able to play lots of music, to feel comfortable, to have a large repertoire, to be able to solo. There's just so many things, and then so many different things like on guitar. Fingerstyle, flat picking, classical, we play. It's pretty much endless. And everything that you go into could be a lifetime commitment to try to play like Doc Watson or try to play like Tommy Emmanuel or Joe Pass. We try to go into all these different things. So it's really quite a challenge that we present ourselves, especially in our live stream, because we try to tackle everything. We're not bluegrass players or Americana, but we're kind of like,
you're guitarists. That's what you are.
You know what? Whatever. And so it's a lot of fun. But boy, I think last I checked, we have a list of songs that we've tackled that we have printed out music that we've done. I think we're up to 1,200 songs.
Oh, geez, wow, that's significant. That's incredible, though. So, a point that David was making with all the different styles, of course, and he said, you know, Helen, you've been doing this majority of your life. one thing's for sure, you are a international fingerstyle champion, of course. So that's a huge accomplishment that you had and something that you've worked very hard on. And I know that was a number of years in the making. And then the awards like the Mamas that we're talking about, that's been years in the making. And all the things that you keep doing keeps raising you up and elevating. And of course, along with the teaching too, the community that you're forming. So I would love to hear your perspective on, you know, the whole working musician thing.
Yeah, well, I've been a musician my whole career, and I've been doing the combo of performing and teaching the whole time and recording. And I did, yeah, when I first moved to Madison, I did about a year and a half of just performing and recording, which was really, really fun. I was able to do that because of Dave, you know, being with Dave, but and it was great. And it's all been quite fascinating, definitely exciting, like we were talking about, sometimes scary. I think I've learned my comfort zones more and more over the years. And I was listening to one of your other shows and mm-hmm. you talked about wearing a lot of hats.
Yeah, yes.
A lot of hats. So I've been the, you know, the publicist, the booking agent, the, you know, I don't know, the producer of the albums or co-producer of the albums, all of those different things. The writer of the songs.
The accountant.
The accountant. Yes, yes. True. I'm the accountant. And yeah, I do have an accountant every tax season that I go to. But other than that, yes, I'm the bookkeeper, like I said. The editor, if I put out materials, you know, I have like an intro book I have for my beginner students. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, these days I have a lot of videos for my students, you know, that, you know, on YouTube. So I've become quite the YouTuber, even though you would not know by looking at my public YouTube work. Although that has been an ambition for a while now that we really do need to tackle this year. Let's make this the year that we start regularly posting on YouTube. We do our Facebook live stream every
I was about time. To say, you do have something that you do regularly. The you have the acoustic date live streams that you do. And that right. probably could give somebody a little sense of what you guys are going to do leading up to the Town Crier, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yes.
I would say...
We'll be bringing new songs that we haven't played in New York. It's been a year and a half since we were last in the Hudson Valley. So.
Oh, wow.
Or almost 2 years, actually. So yeah, we will be definitely bringing some new music of our own, and also some great, we've met some incredible songwriters and musicians along the way that have some beautiful work that people really like. We've tested it here. I think people are going to really love it.
Nice.
Our show's a little bit different than our act.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, I wanted to call it Acoustic Dinner Date with Red Door. And I wanted it to be like, we get together at dinner and we just have conversation, and then the music sort of goes along with the conversation. And that's kind of what our show is. And it also has a spontaneous and improvised thing to it.
Mm.
Because we do material on our live stream that's not stuff we would often do on our show, because it's unrehearsed, actually. Let's say some famous musician who recently died, Tina Turner. We might do three Tina Turner songs on our show. That we just print out and quickly, you know.
You figure it out. You
learn as best we can in a few days or a day.
And so, you say yes and you figure it out later.
That's what we do. So sometimes it's definitely, yeah, by Thursday we're like, oh my gosh, it's already Thursday. We've got it, you know, but here we go.
Our most watched show, we went to see the David Byrne movie.
Stop Making Sense.
Oh, yes, yes,
and
yes.
And I dressed up in a gray suit and we just opened with Psycho Killer. And that was our most watched show. And I was, you know, I was being animated and it was fun. But we might do Celtic music. We might do jazz. We might do anything on the show. And we do. And we do original stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do requests.
We do instrumentals, vocals, solos, just. And so dad jokes.
Right up my alley.
And so we built a community of. We don't have a lot of people that watch it live, probably 20 people at most watch it live, and then it gets posted, and we've had up to 1,000 people watch our show. So yeah. I'd say there's a community of close to 1,000 people, and I think the people that watch it the most see it as a place to go that's normal human interactions with some positive vibes. People can talk with each other, they can talk with us, and it's just a community about almost like getting together for dinner.
Mm.
And the music is part of that. And also I found that this music that we do brings back memories for us. Even in the middle of the show, like suddenly I'll remember, oh, I learned that song when I met this guy and did this. It might take us to a story about who's the famous folk singer from Hudson Valley.
Pete Seeger.
Might be a Pete Seeger story because she knew recorded with him, and it might be just her teacher or my teacher. You know, who knows where it leads? And it's kind of a walk through our history, and we've done a lot of interesting things that we forgot about, and so our show kind of opens that spontaneous conversation. So we have a lot of fun with that, and then people can respond to us, and it seems to work. A lot of people, like my mom, listen to it like Prairie Home Companion at night when they're making dinner.
Oh, there you go.
So it really works well as that, like an old radio show.
No, that's really cool. Just to be able to interact and engage with your community like that, and you know, not be afraid to try something new and keep engaging. And I absolutely love that. Now, as we're wrapping up this episode right now, I want to give you guys the opportunity. Of course, make sure that you check them out at the Town Crier on Saturday, May 24th. Make sure that you vote for Helen for the Mamas. All the links in the description. But before we say goodbye and we say we're glad we spent some time, what last little nugget would you guys want to leave our Walsh Wednesday listening audience? Could be anything. Any last little nugget?
Well, I did want to mention two other things, if I may, quickly.
Please, go for it.
One is that my music is being used as the theme for a very cool podcast called Full Spirals, which is about art and creativity and healing. So if you love podcasts, which if you're watching and listening to this, you probably do, I recommend that. And so one of my pieces, Pages Jig, is the theme. And then there's another piece. Well, she sometimes just sprinkles some of my other music in there. So that's been cool. And then one of my songs is going to be part of an independent film coming out called My Summers of Love. It's in post-production now. Don't quite know when it's coming out, but a song I co-wrote with a woman named Kate Dioma from LA. And also Dave had a part a little bit in the writing as well. So that should be coming out. I can't tell you exactly when.
Once you do know, let us know, and we would love to help promote that. That is amazing. Yeah. How'd you get involved with the film?
That was, well, you know, like a lot of things in music, being in the right place at the right time, knowing the right person. Basically, somebody I knew who I met years ago, he's been working on this project for many years when I met him, and he was, anyway, we went up to the Twin Cities. His name is Don Strong. He invited us up, actually, to fill in for a couple gigs for him because he was busy. So we went up there and gave him one of these Red Door Duo CDs, and he listened to it. He's like, I think your song, I'm Coming Home, will be perfect for my documentary. I'm like, really? You know, he even filmed, actually, I was in some of his filming, but I don't know if I'm going to make it past the editing. I might have been cut out. He did a lot of filming over the years. So this is about his camp experience at Homestead in New York, in the Bear Mountain Park area of New York. So it's actually very Hudson Valley oriented.
Fun.
And he went to this very special summer camp for a number of years that my sister also went to, which is why I met him in the first place. They were having a reunion. So that's a long story, but that's it. You know, something that I met somebody years ago, he heard me play, really loved it, even filmed me because he was doing some filming of these reunions, possibly to be in the film. So I was in a couple of those. And then just over the years, we got to be friends. I moved out here. He invited me, you know, we went up to St. Paul area. So I was like, we're in the area, let's call up Don. And then, you know, and then he had some shows he invited us to perform in because he does stuff up there. And then, yeah, like I said, gave him this recording just last November.
And that's fantastic.
Together, yes. And yeah, the camp he went to was called Homestead. So he thought I'm Coming Home was a good idea for that, you know, that it would work well with the film.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, I can't wait for that to come out. And for everybody to check that out, yeah, let us know. And then happy to see it and happy to spread the word. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So my little nougat would be, if I think a lot of our audience are single people that might feel a little bit isolated. So we broadcast every Thursday night at around 7 o'clock Central Time. We're usually 10 minutes late. But if you want to just have a little dinner date with some friends and just feel part of a small welcoming community, we love people to just come and watch our show. We don't ask for any money or anything. It's just our way of just giving some good energy out into the world, and you know, start watching our show and become part of that little get together. If you know anybody that's by themselves and is looking for something that's just normal human beings doing. failing. We fail on screen. We're imperfect. We go after each other.
It's backstage. I consider it sort of a glimpse backstage.
Kind of a little behind the scenes action there.
Exactly.
It's cool. It's really more of a rehearsal behind the scenes kind of show.
I love that. And it's so good. I've tuned into a number of them. They're fun. They're engaging. I love the music. I haven't heard anything bad out of it yet. So I've been enjoying.
Well, you know, the young people, they put out these YouTube things where they sit down in a studio and they mix it and they do 400 takes and then it's perfect. Mm. And I think there's a market for that. And I kind of feel, you know, I mean, they're under pressure to be, because if they don't get it right, even if they're good, they get trolled. So that's not what we do.
Yeah. It's good. It's nice to be authentic. It's good to be genuine. And as Helen, as you said, like a sneak peek behind the scenes, things along those lines. And it's great. And then if they want to see the official show, go to the show on May 24th at the Town Crier Cafe, which will be amazing, which we will be able to see you guys there in person. And I'm so excited for both. So Dave, Helen, thank you so much for being on this episode of Walsh Wednesday. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys at the end of the month.
Thank you. You do a great job. You'll see Connor as well. So come on out and see us all. We'll have a great night.
And everybody make this broadcast. It's Connor Walsh Wednesdays.
Walsh Wednesday, yeah.
Walsh Wednesday's part of your life too, because it's great.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm Connor.
This is my partner in life, music, and adventure, Dave Irwin.
And this is my tie-dye partner, Helen Avakian.
And we are
Red Door.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, Impact PR and Communications, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County, Locks That Rock Hair Design, Bowman Wash Car Wash, Walsh Valuation, and Day Rock. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. You can support this channel by becoming a Patreon member with memberships as low as $5 a month. With that, you can get behind-the-scenes content, your name featured in the credits of each episode, and access to the Spend Some Time chat. You can find that and more by scanning the QR code on your screen or by going to the links in the description. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.